We'll go ahead and use the remaining time we have this evening to look into a challenge from the Word of God. And I trust that it will be a blessing, but also a challenge to us this evening. So let's take our Bibles and go to Luke and chapter number 2. Luke and chapter number 2 is where we will begin this evening. Luke and chapter number 2. Now, as we think about missions tonight and the need to spread the gospel of Christ around the world, we need to take some time to view missions from the perspective of the greatest missionary who ever walked the face of the earth, and his name is Jesus Christ. You know what? God is looking for faithful servants with a humble heart who are willing to receive Christ's heart for the harvest. Christ's heart for the harvest. And that is our title for this evening. And we need to realize that we are simply vessels for Christ to use to bring others to himself. And as we consider Christ's heart for the harvest this evening, we need to remember, first of all, that Jesus came in humility. Let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 7 through 14. You can follow along with me as I read these verses. The Bible says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And what we see here very simply is that Jesus came in humility. He first came to the lowly shepherds there in Bethlehem. You know, as you think about the coming of Christ, it would have perhaps made more sense, humanly speaking, for Christ to come in a grand ceremony to everyone there in Jerusalem, perhaps to appear to the king and to all the religious leaders there and all these different things. But from the very, very, very start of his ministry, we see Christ's heart for the harvest. As a babe lying in the manger, he came in humility. He was first announced to the lowly shepherds there, lying in the field, taking watch over their flock by night. You know, the shepherds didn't have the easiest life there in Israel. The shepherds really were the outcasts of society. Probably didn't have many friends or anything. They were outside with little to nothing in life. It wasn't the greatest career choice. We see Jesus' heart for the harvest in that he was first announced to the lowly, forgotten shepherds here in Bethlehem. We don't even know their names, but we have their account thousands of years later. Nobody wanted to be a shepherd, but God delights in flipping the script and showing his power through the most unlikely sources, humanly speaking. And the shepherds here, they hear the news of Jesus' birth, and I love their response because they drop everything and run to Bethlehem. Look with me in verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." I love the response of the shepherds, but I love their response after they see Jesus as well. Verse 17, the Bible says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Because when you see Jesus, you cannot keep him to yourself. They went immediately in the middle of the night. Think about the context here and all that is going on. They went right away to tell this news to everyone. You know, sometimes certain witnessing situations aren't that convenient. But let's remember that Christ died for them as well. And on that night in Bethlehem, I'm sure people were quite shocked. I'm sure people were very surprised to have anyone, let alone the shepherds of all people, coming with some important news in the middle of the night. But their message was that important. When you see Jesus, you cannot keep him to yourself. When you meet with Christ, it does something to you. It changes you from the inside, and that will come out. A simple question, church, have you met Jesus recently? Or on an individual level, have you taken time amidst the busyness of life and ministry, have you taken time to fellowship with God? I'm not talking about just reading the Bible for the sake of it and praying and coming to church as a routine. No, I'm talking about meeting with God and maintaining an intimate relationship with him. You know, it's one thing to come and to sing songs and hear the preaching and to go home the same week after week. Something very different to come here with a heart of worship to God and to be in tune as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, to go home changed week after week. It's one thing to read the Bible, to tick it off a to-do list, and to pray through a list in and of itself. It's something very different to meet God in his word. The Bible says in Psalm 27 and verse 8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And you know, when you meet with Jesus, you cannot remain the same. You cannot keep him to yourself. And no Christian who fails to fellowship with God will ever have a heart for the harvest or have Jesus' vision for souls. Jesus demonstrated his heart for the harvest right at the very beginning of his ministry as the shepherds were the first to hear the news of his coming. The ministry of Christ had humble beginnings, and nothing changed as his ministry developed. And not only did Jesus come in humility, but Jesus also took time for the outcast and rejected in society. Jesus took time for the outcast and rejected in society. Turn with me to Mark in chapter number 2, and we'll see a few verses here. Mark and chapter number 2, verses 15 through 17. Mark chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Jesus took time for the outcast and rejected in society. The Bible says here, Mark chapter 2, verse 15, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We see Jesus here having a meal with publicans and sinners. Sinners of all kinds would have been here, and tax collectors as well. And everyone here would have known the different things that these folks were involved in and would have wanted absolutely nothing to do with any of them, let alone to sit down and have a meal with them. They were the outcasts of society. And inevitably, as we see throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Pharisees show up. And instead of asking Jesus what he was doing, they try to get something out of the disciples instead. But before the disciples can answer, we see Jesus give one of his key mission statements in the Bible. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Pharisees considered themselves righteous, perfect, a whole. They thought they were above the law and above everyone else in society. They rejected Christ, yet he loved them as well. And no one would have given the time of day to any of these people here, but Jesus cared about them. His heart for the harvest extended to all of these different people. We won't go there today, but think of Zacchaeus, for example, a wealthy thief in Israel. Jesus dined with him, saved him, changed his life forever. Zacchaeus would have thought that I'm just going to climb this tree just to get a glimpse of Christ and that's it. But Jesus had great plans for him. We could go through so many different people in the Bible who Jesus extended his heart to, his heart for the harvest. So many different individuals, so many different groups of people. His heart for the harvest as well extended to his own disciples. Not the most famous people in society. Some of them were fishermen, and one of them was a tax collector who was saved, etc. They didn't have a lot of degrees and accolades or recognition. No one would have thought anything of these disciples, but they left everything to follow Jesus. And God used them in a great way. Go with me to Acts and chapter number 4. Just a few verses here. As we think of Christ's heart for the harvest and his ministry to the disciples. Acts chapter 4, and we'll see a few verses here. And in this story, there's so much going on. Persecution is imminent in Jerusalem. God is working in a great way. 5,000 people have gotten saved, and a layman has been healed. Peter and John are being used of God in a great way here. And they're set before the high priest and his family and many other people here, and they're questioned over what they're doing. Acts chapter 4, we'll begin in verse number 10 with Peter speaking here. And it says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." That was a layman who had been healed. Verse 11, "This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." And then look at verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Praise the Lord for that. But notice with me verse number 13, so important. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Now every word in the Bible is important. Why does it tell us that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus? Why is that so significant? Because when you've been with Jesus, you will be changed. You will be different. Jesus has a habit of changing people from the inside out. And of course, these men and all these people here, they would have remembered seeing Peter and John and all the other disciples with Christ, doing all the different miracles and traveling with Jesus in Israel. And they saw all of that, but they quickly realized that this boldness being portrayed here in the face of possible persecution, this boldness to speak for the Lord and declare the gospel, this didn't just come out of nowhere. It came from being with Jesus. And we could go through so many verses to show how the disciples, including Peter and John, they learned how to abide in Christ and to maintain a close relationship with the Lord. Even after he ascended to heaven, they remained close to Christ, and God used them in a powerful way. And Christ's heart for the harvest extended to so many different people, including his own disciples. Christ's heart for the harvest is seen in that Jesus came in humility. Jesus took time for the outcast, rejected, forgotten people in society. And also, Jesus had compassion on the multitudes, and he still does today. I'll look with me in Matthew, in chapter number 9. Matthew, in chapter number 9, Jesus still has compassion on the multitudes today. Matthew, in chapter number 9, we'll begin with verse number 35. Matthew 9 and verse 35. And the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Jesus was very busy and doing many great things, preaching, healing people, traveling. Okay, I've been driving around on deputation this year since the end of February, going all over the place to different states. Jesus wasn't doing that with his disciples. They were walking everywhere, very busy. And how easy is it to get very busy doing good things in ministry? But ministry is a lot more than busyness. If you look at verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd." Jesus was busy in ministry, doing all these wonderful things, but it's when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. The multitudes were as sheep, having no shepherd. Do we see the multitudes today? Do we see the multitudes today? The multitudes are everywhere. Nothing has changed since the time of Christ. People are lost and living life without God. We live in a busy society. Jesus saw the same thing, yet it moved him to compassion. And that is when he exclaimed what we see here in verse 37. "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." You know, a harvest implies that we simply need to go out and get the fruit. Jesus saw a need and acknowledged that, yes, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Yet the reality is people are all over who are ready to receive the gospel if someone would but tell them. The same is true in Kenya as it is here in America. The fields are white, all ready unto harvest. So what is the solution to the plenteous harvest? If you notice with me, verse 37 and 38 are connected. This is one sentence, okay? Verse 38, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." We need Christ. We cannot do it ourselves. We need to pray. And it can be very easy to think that, you know what? I'm going to pray. I'm going to be faithful right here. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray that God would send someone to spread the gospel in my community and to my friends and to the people I know. I'm going to pray that God would send someone else to fulfill the Great Commission and to spread the gospel. It is something very different to say, I'm going to pray, as the Bible says, but I'm also going to be willing to go. Here am I, send me. And if God would send me across the world to a different place to tell someone about Jesus, I'll be willing to do that. And if not, I'll be a missionary right here, right where I am, in my sphere of influence. I'm going to pray. I'm also going to be willing to go. We need to be the laborers in the harvest. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to have Jesus' vision for souls. We need to have Christ's heart for the harvest. He came in humility. He took time for the outcast and rejected in society, and he still has compassion on the multitudes today. May God give us Christ's heart for the harvest. And don't get discouraged. Maybe you're here tonight and you would say, you know what, there's someone I've been praying for, or someone I've been reaching out to with the gospel, and it just seems to be taking a long time and they're not getting saved yet. Continue praying for them. I keep reaching out to them with the gospel. I'll always be thankful for a man by the name of Tom. And Tom was somebody who had a friend who he was reaching out to with the gospel and witnessing to and inviting to church. And he would be turned down every time and rejected. And Tom would continue to pray for him and witness to him and invite him to church. Time and time again, he would tell Tom, you know what? You needed God, and this salvation thing was good for you, and I'm fine. Leave me alone. And Tom wouldn't get discouraged. He kept witnessing to him, kept reaching out to him. And finally, this friend of his told me, you know what? Tom, I'm going to go to church with you one Sunday if you promise to leave me alone and never speak to me about Jesus again after that one service. And Tom was praying, and God, would you do a work in my friend's life? And that Sunday came, and his friend went to church as he promised, heard the gospel. And God worked in such a powerful way that this friend went back to church a second Sunday, heard the gospel again, was convicted of his sin, and he went home that week and was trying to watch a basketball game on TV. It was a Tuesday night, and he couldn't even focus on the game. He was under such heavy conviction of his sin, and Tom had told him time and time again what he needed to do and how to be saved. And under such heavy conviction, and he knew what he needed to do, he turned off the TV, knelt down right there in his living room, and accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And that friend was my dad, and he was saved at 31 years old, and God used him in a great way. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Tom and his faithfulness and his persistence, his heart for the harvest, his vision for souls, and that he realized, you know what, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And even though he was told no time and time again, he kept witnessing to my dad, and eventually he got saved, and I eventually went to Kenya as a missionary. So maybe you're here today and you would say, you know what, there's someone I've been praying for, someone I've witnessed to in the past, and they're not saved yet. Keep praying for them. Keep reaching out to them with the gospel. Our heads bowed and eyes closed, please, as we conclude our message. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your heart for the harvest. And God, I pray for all of us here this evening as believers that you would help us to have your heart for the harvest, to have your vision for souls that are lost all around us. Lord, help us not to get too caught up in the busyness of life that we forget why it is that we are here on this earth, that you would use us to bring others to yourself. Lord, I do pray if there is someone here this evening who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they would make that decision even tonight. But Lord, I pray for all of us as Christians. Help us, Lord, to be faithful witnesses for you. Help us to pray, Lord, for those laborers. Help us to be the faithful laborers in the harvest. Help us to be like Tom and witness faithfully to others. And I pray that you would help us to internalize these truths here tonight. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.